Based on the Mishnah, on Daf Tesham and Beis, the Gemara is searching on Daf Yudam and Aleph for cases of a person who is only partially responsible for the damage, but has to render payment for the entire damage. Again, the language of the Mishnah was Hechsharki b'mikses nisko. Even though I've only played a role in part of the damage, Hechsharki b'mikses nisko, the Mishnah says, despite my partial role, Chavki b'tashlumi nisko, I have to reimburse the entire damage, ki hechsher kol nisko, as if I had enabled the entire damage. So the Gemara in Daf Yud is commenting on this intriguing line of the Mishnah, and is actually searching for these cases. What type of case would a person only perform or only be responsible from a negligence standpoint for part of the damage, but nonetheless be guilty in a way that would make him responsible to pay for all of the damage? And interestingly enough, the Gemara doesn't really find any classic, so to speak, Bava Kama cases of Shane or Regel or Karen. It has to look at something exotic. And ultimately, one option the Gemara will discuss, maybe we'll talk about it in a future shiur, is a case of five people who are watching an animal, trying to prevent it from being damaged, shomrim, or trying to prevent it from performing damage. This ducks out, or all these shomrim duck out and leave one. Another case where five people are sitting on a bench, and one person comes and sits on that same bench, and Adam Hamazik. I can't really find a classic case of Shane, Regel, Karen, Aish, which person only performed half damages, or only was responsible for half of the damage, but pays the entire amount, which says something about the role of Pshia in Mamona Shehizik. It may centralize the role of Pshia. And if your Pshia was only partial, it's impossible to obligate you more than your Pshia. So the first case the Gemara describes is the case of Bor. Now we already know that Bor is a little bit different from all the other forms of Mazikim, and we know that primarily from Rava's statement on the Hamad Beis. If you recall, the first Mishnah seemed pretty confident that none of the Avot were interchangeable and none could be inferred from the other, and therefore the Torah has to iterate all the various Avos Nezikin. Again, the language of the Mishnah is Lo Harei HaShor, Kerei HaBor, Lo Harei HaShor, Kerei HaAdam, Kerei HaMaveh. But yet Rava and Daf Hei already told us that if the Torah would have only written Bor and one other Mazik, Bor is so unique and it's so unlikely a Mazik that if the Torah would have stipulated the responsibility to reimburse Bor payments, we would have drawn the equivalent of a Kal Vachomer. Well, if Bor is chayiv, despite the fact that it doesn't really resemble Mazikim, well then certainly all the other Mazikim should be chayiv. Now, if the Torah would have just written Bor, we could have dismissed it. Well, Bor is damaging public property, digging a bor in the Sarabim, creating an immediate hazard. So the Torah has to, in theory, according to Rava, write another one, Bor and Eish, or Bor and Shane. It doesn't make a difference, as Rava said, Bor v'chad minayu. But at that point already, on Daf Hei Amud Beis, we already sense that Bor is a unique mazik. The unique quality of Bor is on display again in this Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Beis. Because again, the Gemara is searching for someone who only enables part of the ultimate damage and yet is responsible to pay for all. That seems like a riddle. And the only way, at least at this stage, the Gemara can decode that riddle is to turn to Bor. And the Gemara cites a machlokas about this issue, a machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan, about a person that digs a Bor of 9 and then another person adds a tefach and completes the Bor to be 10 tefachim. Now the transition from 9 to 10 is crucial because a bor of 9 tefachim is really only something capable of damaging, not of murdering, of killing. Chazal estimated that a bor of 9 tefachim is not a lethal threat. People can be hurt or items can be damaged, but people or animals can't be killed. Whereas a bor of 10 tefachim is a bor that can be responsible for Misa. So what happens if a person digs a bor of 9 tefachim and then another person comes along and completes the bor, rendering it 10 tefachim, rendering it capable of murdering? So when it comes to murder, when it comes to death, if an animal falls in and dies, it's pretty obvious the second person should be chayiv. But not because he only did part, he basically did all. Because when he came along, the bor wasn't a lethal threat, and he converted it into a lethal threat. So that's not a finish. But the last person would be chayiv from Misa, that's not a tremendous fish. It may have a certain element of novelty, but it's not a really challenging fish. But the point of contention between Revi and the Rabbanan is, what about damages, not death? An animal falls in and hurts its leg. Who would pay for the damages? So logic would dictate, and this is indeed Revi's position, that when it comes to damages, they both the first digger and the second digger would pay, because the first digger created a bore capable of damaging. The second digger enlarged it. I mean, if anything, the second digger should be exonerated from the damages. He could claim and say, I didn't really do anything. Your bore was fully capable of damaging before I came along. So Rebbe's conclusion is that they both pay for the damages, and the second one alone pays for the death. This is the logical position, and again, in this system, you don't really have a person paying more than his negligence or more than his actions. Again, when it comes to the bore of death, the second person was fully responsible because the first person was careful not to dig a bore of 10 tefachim capable of killing. When it comes to Nezikin, they're equally responsible. They each created a hazard, and effectively they should share the damages. However, the Rabbanan have a very, very strange shita. The Rabbanan's position is that the second digger is not only responsible exclusively for the death that may occur, but even if there are damages, the second one is chayiv. The language of the Gemara is hachofer bor tisha uba'asher v'eshlimu la'asara. Achron chayiv. The Rabbanan say the last one is chayiv, again both for Misa, which he introduced, as well as for damages, which the first person introduced. And that disagrees with Rebbe, because Rebbe claims that for Misa the second one pays, but for Nezikin they both would pay. And this, the Gemara feels, is the one and only example of Lachsharki b'Mekhsas Nisko, where the second one only dug one tefach and is chayiv to pay for the entire damage, even though he only dug one tefach and only, as it were, enabled part of the damage. And the big question is why? Why does the second person carry full responsibility, not just for Misa, which is obvious, but for Nezikin, which is strained? So here there are two approaches that can be suggested, that can be presented. One approach is already adopted by the Shittim Kubetches, and he claims that basically the second person who digs, he's effectively filling up the bore, removing the bore of the first person, and redigging a bore anew. This is the position cited by the Rabbeinu Yonasan Milunil, a very, very well-known Rishon, about a lot of Mesechtos, but somehow in Bava Kama, his positions are a little bit more important, in part because there's no Ramban. And when there's no Ramban on a Mesechta, many of the other Rishonim who play secondary roles in various Mesechtas are much more important. So the Beta Yonasan, quoted by the Shittim Mugubetris, claims in his language, and it's really the language of the Gemara, that when the second person digs the bore, okay, so physically he didn't really start anew. But when he takes that shovel and starts digging, it's almost as if he filled up the first person's bore and then redug it. Selek Maisa Rishon. So effectively, the second person did not only dig one tefach and only prepared or enable part of the damage. When you come to a bore and you put your shovel in, even if you don't fill it up, you're riding on the coattails, you're employing, you are engineering the previous bore for your purposes, it's like you dug an entire bore. And when you dig that bore, you are mesalek Maisa Rishon, the first person's activities are completely, completely nullified, and the entire bore is considered as having been dug by the second person. Now, interestingly enough, the Rabbeinu Yonasan has a precedent for this. It's the Gemara in Bava Kama, earlier, when the Chaf Testament Beis, which talks about someone who disposes refuse into the public domain, and he's creating a bore. If people were to trip over that bore, he'd be guilty. What happens if a second person moves the refuse to another location? So Gemara says that the second person has effectively canceled the bore of the first party, Selek Maisa Rishon, has created a new bore, meaning the first person, the original person who threw out the garbage, is Pater, and the second person is completely responsible, Selek Maisa Rishon. Then the Onasan extrapolates that notion from removing or relocating refuse to the second person adding to the first person's bore. Now, this is a bit of a jump, to be honest. It's one thing to say when Reuven places garbage at one location, and then Shimon completely removes that garbage. And at the point that Shimon removes it, the bar in Shimon's hands is totally incapable of damaging. In fact, Shimon probably made a Maisikinyan on it if he picked it up above a certain height, and the Gemara discusses that height. So Reuven's actions are really completely erased. And Shimon is creating a new bar in a new location. In our case, Reuven is digging a bar of 9 tefachim, and Shimon is adding a tefach. It's not really erasing Reuven's activities. He's adding to it. So you should make them both partners in the obligation, as Rebbe did, for an Ezekiel at least, to say that the Rabbanim's position that the last person is solely responsible is based on the Shilik Maisa Rishon concept. It's a bit strange. It's a bit difficult. Second of all, there's actually a kasha on the Sabini on the son's approach. The Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Nun Aleph, cites a shita, not the only shita, but cites a shita, that the Rabbanim would admit in one case that the last person does not admit full responsibility, that the two people share responsibility for Nezikin. Again, normally according to the Rabbanim, the last person, Shimon, is chayev not just for Misa, but also for Nezikin. That's the difficulty. What happens if Reuven digs 10, and then Shimon digs another 10? In this instance, Shimon hasn't really introduced any new danger or element to the boar. The boar is always a lethal threat. Since he didn't really introduce anything new, in this case he doesn't bear Shimon the second one full responsibility, as the Rabbanim typically feel, but he shares it with Reuven. If the Rabbanim's position is based on the second person's digging as being a physical removal or erasure of the first one, and the second one is like he dug the whole boar, then what difference does it make if Reuven digs 9 and Shimon digs 1, Reuven digs 10, Shimon digs another 10? The second person who digs a bore, because he didn't fill it up, because he's basically digging a bore and benefiting and engineering the first person's bore, basically it's his bore. Anytime number 2 digs a bore, it's like he removes number 1's actions, and it's totally his actions. How could the Gemara on Daf Nun Aleph, at least according to one opinion, distinguish according to the Rabbanon, between a case where Shimon adds an element to the bore of Misa, and then he's totally chayev, including Nezikin exclusive chiyuv, as opposed to when he didn't really add any new dimension, but physically he did the same thing, and if not just the same thing, but more. Then you think it's a kal v'chomer. If Shimon's chayev for Nezikin exclusively for digging one extra tefach to a 9 tefach bore, he should be chayev for Nezikin exclusively for digging 10 extra tefachim to a 10 tefach bore. So this theory of the Beni Yonasan is questionable on two fronts. First of all, is this Shilik Maisa Rishon concept applicable to a person who doesn't relocate refuse but continue to dig deeper into a bar started by an earlier party? Number 2, it doesn't seem to accord with one position in the Gemara Bava Kama Nun Aleph that the Rabbanan, who apply full culpability to the second one, do not apply that culpability if Reuven digs 10 and Shimon digs another 10. Evidently, there's another way to explain the Rabbanan. And this goes back to something I said earlier in this year. Bore really is a strange and unique type of damage. And it's unique for 2 reasons. Number 1, because the classic form of ownership doesn't really extend to a bore. At some level, I'm fired from my animals eating or damaging or goring or even from my fire's activity because there's some degree of ownership. And in the case of fire, it's somewhat questionable. Do you really own it? And Rish Lakish actually calls it memono, and we'll have to see what that means on that fluff base. But there's some degree of ownership of it being yours. A boar, first of all, it's located in Rosh Hashanah. It's questionable. It's machlokas tanaim. Whether a boar in Rosh Hashanah is chayiv, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Daf Mem Tes. Second of all, not just is it located in Rosh Hashanah, but there's really nothing there. It's a hole. You don't really own a boar. It's a hole in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara Daf Chav Tes addresses this question of bailus for a boar. Quoting the famous statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that two things aren't really owned by a person halachically, but the Torah considers them as if they're owned. One is a boar b'shus harabim, and one is chametz on Pesach. We'll have to get to this question, but off the cuff, it seems like boar is unique because you don't really own it. Second of all, not just is boar unique because it doesn't exhibit the classic ownership of a person who pays for his owned item's damage, but boar is unique because it doesn't directly damage. Right? The animal goes out and damages and eats and gores and steps, and the fire goes and burns. Bore is indirect. You dig a bore, and then a person or an animal or kalim fall in. Obviously, you're putting for a person, but the bore doesn't do an act of damage. And this is, again, what Rava was picking up on the Hayim days. Effectively, we could claim that a bore is a whole different model of chiyuv. You're not chayiv for damages, for an act of damage, because the act wasn't performed by something you did, or the act wasn't direct. Something fell into the bore. There's no act of damage. Could be that you're chayiv in bore, as the Gemara says itself. The Gemara says on daf mem tesam adays, ki yiftach ish bor v'chi yichre ish bor. If you open a bore, or if you dig a fresh bore, if you open a covered bore, if you dig a fresh bore, you're chayiv. So the Gemara wants to know, once we know you're chayiv for opening a bore, why does the Torah have to specify you're chayiv for digging a bore? Imahalap sicha chayiv al hakriya lo kol shekein. The Gemara answers, el al iske kriyo psicha bala. You're chayiv for the digging. The Torah is highlighting acts of digging and opening. You're right, there's a redundancy in the pasuk, but the Torah wants to highlight that there's an action here that you're chayiv for, the act of digging a bore. Basically, a person isn't chayiv for the act of damage. He's chayiv because he created a hazard. He's created a mazik in rishus harabim. He's created something which is a peril, which is a danger. And Bava Kama creates obligations for people whose items do damage. Chain, Karen, Rekel. It also creates obligations for people who just create hazards and mazikim, even though they don't own them, and even though their mazikim didn't perform an act of damage. You created a mazik, you're chayiv. This may be the underlying theory of Bor, and Amirta Sen will test this theory in many, many areas, but it may really underwrite the Rabbanan's position. Why is the second person solely responsible? After all, the final act of damage was performed by a bor dug by two. Reuven dug the first 9 tfachim and Simon. When it comes to Misa, it's understandable why the second party bears sole responsibility, and even Rabbi agrees. But when it comes to Nezikin, Rabbi's position of shared liability makes eminent sense. How could the Rabbanan apply full liability for Nezikin to the second one when both people were responsible? The answer is because when it comes to bor, you're not paying for what happens. You're paying for creating a hazard, creating a peril, unleashing a menace. By adding one tefach to the bor, the second person changed the nature of that menace, the category of that menace. He made a menace level 5, not just level 4, code red as we would say. And ultimately that menace that was introduced into society was a menace unleashed and unlocked solely by the second one. And therefore he has to pay. Because in bor, if in bor you're paying for the act of damage, the act of damage, the contact with the bor, is contact with a bor, with a hole, dug by two. But you're not paying for the contact of the animal with the bor. You're paying because you created a mazik, you created a menace to society. Oh, you created a mazik. Who created the full termed fully blossomed mazik? None other than the second person. And this may be the way to understand the Rabbanan. And this may be the difference between digging an extra tefach and transitioning the bor into a bor of yud, in which the Rabbanan say the second one bears full responsibility, even for damages, not just for death, as opposed to the Gemara and Daf Nun Aleph, a person who digs a bor of 10, followed by Simon, who adds another 10. Even though Simon has effectively dug more in the second case, he hasn't really changed the category of damage. He hasn't taken a bor incapable of causing lethality and introduced lethal opportunity. That lethal capacity already existed before the first one, before the second one. So if the Rabbeinu Yonah's son is right in the Rabbanim, that it's a physical removal or erasure, that Shimon effectively fills Reuven's bor and then redigs it, it's like Reuven's actions are nullified, and you're right, Daf Nun Aleph is difficult. In that case, Shimon does even more than in the classic case of adding one tefach to a 9 tefach bor. And if adding one tefach to a 9 tefach bor makes Shimon fully responsible for Nezikin, adding 10 to a 10 should certainly make him responsible. Whereas, if the responsibility of the final digger is based on his recategorizing and reclassifying the menace as a lethal one, So that's only if he transitions the bore from 9 to 10, not from 10 to 20. So these are two ways to explain the Rabbanan. There have been Yonason's approach and the second approach, and they're very, very different approaches. Ben Yonason sees the actions of the second one as removing the actions of the first and redigging a bore. Second approach is not really the actions of the second one, but by introducing a new identity, you're chayev, because it's the identifying or creating an identified mazik, an identified menace, that makes you chayev for bore. There could be three other cases in which we would want to explore the Rabbanan's position that may help us decide whether the Beit Yonason is right or the second approach is more valid. For example, what would happen if a person digs a bore of 6, and then Shimon, the second one, comes and adds a tefach to 7? So this would be very similar to the case of 10 to 20. In this instance, Shimon hasn't introduced a new threat, a new menace, a new category, and therefore, maybe the Rabbanan would admit, maybe the Rabbanan should admit that both are chayev, because the sole culpability of Shimon, but when it comes from 9 to 10, according to the second view, is because he introduced a new threat, he introduced a new level of lethality. What happens if he doesn't introduce anything new? Should he be chayev? Or do we say that any time a second digger comes along, according to Ben Yonason, it's like he fills up and erases the bore of the first and redigs a new bore? So this is actually a debate amongst the Rishonim. Kalsos and Daf Nun Aleph claims that in this case, where the second digger, Shimon, adds one tefach to a six tefach bore, in this case, the Rabbanan would agree that both share responsibility. The only time the Rabbanan imposes sole responsibility on the second digger is when he transitions it from a non-lethal threat to a lethal threat. Evidently, it's that introduction of a new level of threat that bears, or that is responsible for his sole culpability. Whereas the Ra'ah is cited by the Shikim HaKubetzis and Daphne and Aleph, argues. The Ra'ah says that in this case as well, where the second digger adds one tefach from 6 to 7, in this case as well, the second person, according to the Banim, bears sole responsibility, which makes us think that the Ra'ah is very similar to the Ben Yonason, that the unique responsibility of the second digger is not based on his redefining the level of threat, but simply redigging the bore as if he had erased the bore, closed the bore, removed the bore, and dug it afresh, dug it anew. So this would be a nafka mina between the two ways of viewing the Rabbanan Shita. Another nafka mina. What happens in a case where a person does create the transition from 9 to 10? Okay, so you are introducing a new level of threat, a new menace, but you may not be someone who removes the first bore. You're not really, by digging or employing the new bore, I'm taking the depth that you dug and using it as my depth, and it's almost as if it becomes my bore that I dug. Sigmar is an interesting case, and again on Daf Nun Aleph. What happens if a Reuven digs a bore of 9 tefachim, and then Simon digs one tefach of height on the rim of the bore? So now someone that would trip over the newly added rim of the bore would fall on a height of 10, because he would fall, and his entire fall would be 10 tefachim high, because of the 9 tefachim of depth of the bore plus the 1 tefach that was built up. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Nun Aleph from the base, asks about this question. And Gemara is a bit of a suffix. It could very well be that the suffix of the Gemara on Daf Nun Aleph, and again the Gemara is operating within the Rabbanan Shita, because according to Rebbe, we already know that in all cases, the two people share responsibility, whether the second person digs an extra tefach, the second person adds an extra tefach of height. The whole question is only according to the Rabbanan, the possible like the Rabbanan. So according to the Rabbanan, would this be different? So again, if the Rabbanan's unique assignment of responsibility to Shimon is because he introduced a new menace, he took something which was only a menace of damages, and he created a menace of death, then in this case as well, he took something which was capable of creating damages, 9 tefachim, he redefined it and reconstituted it as a lethal threat, he should be chayev. But if we feel like the Rabbeinu Yonason, that the second person is chayev because his digging down into the depth where the first person dug, it's like he's taking over the actions, removing the actions of the first, and making it as if he dug 10 tefachim himself, that could be if he follows in the pathway of the first person, if Shimon digs as Reuven dug. But what happens when Shimon comes to the bar and sees the depth of Reuven, and then doesn't dig deep, but just adds to it? So he's not really erasing Reuven's initial actions. He may just be capitalizing upon them, adding to them, complementing them. So if he doesn't remove Reuven's original, actions, then maybe Reuven remains a partner in this damage, and they should share liability. So this is a debate amongst the Gemara, and it's very likely that the Gemara is really debating the two different models for understanding the Rabbanan. Okay? Ultimately, the Gemara answers that, according to the Rabbanan, the second person bears sole responsibility when he digs an extra rim, and that indicates that, according to the Rabbanan, the second person's sole responsibility is not based on his removing the first person's actions, but just enlarging the level of threat. But the Gemara's debate may reflect at least an initial readiness to consider both options. One final question that may help us divide between the Rabbeinu Yonason's approach and the Rabbanan's approach discusses a case where a person comes to a bar, okay, and digs the extra tefach, and then fills it in. Okay, so in this case, again, he comes to a bar of 9 tzachim, he digs an extra tefach, so now there's a bar of 10, and then he fills in 1 tefach. So when he walks away, the bar is effectively no worse than when he came. So in this case as well, this is a Gemara's question on Daf Nun Aleph, and in the final analysis, he hasn't really introduced a new level of threat. He came, it was 9, and when he left, it was 9. In the interim, he dug an extra tefach, but he filled it in. So if the Rabbanan's assignment of sole responsibility to Shimon the second digger is because he reconstituted the bar as a lethal threat, a person who finds a bar of 9, digs an extra tefach, and fills in 1 tefach hasn't really created a new threat. And he shouldn't bear full responsibility. And he said, again, in this case, the Rabbanan should concede that they share responsibility. But if the Rabbeinu Yonason is right, and the sole responsibility of the second party is because by digging down into the bar of the first, it's like he removes the bar, fills the bar, and then redigs the entire bar, any time Shimon comes and starts digging where Reuven left off, it's like it becomes his bar. So I want that he digs and then he fills. The second he starts digging, it's like he dug all 9 and then 10 tefachim. So if he fills up 1 tefach of the 10 tefach bar that he dug, he's still responsible for damages. So this then becomes another nafkamina between the two ways of understanding the Rabbanan. So again, the Rabbanan Shita, which the Gemara, when the Fiyot assigned to that strange Mishnah, the Mishnah talks about someone who's only partially responsible but fully paying, it's really hard for the Gemara initially to find the case until it discovers Bor. And the Gemara feels that Bor, according to Rabbanan, provides such an example. Again, according to Rebbe, the second person who dug the 10th tefach is from Misha. But they share responsibility for Nezikin, and that's the logical approach. It's the Rabbanan who states something very, very challenging. That even though the second person only dug 1 tefach, and the first bar was fully capable of rendering Nezik, the second person bears full responsibility, and that's the insinuation of the Mishnah, someone who only dug 1 tefach is chai for all Nezikin. Is it because by digging into a bar of a first person, it's like you become the digger of the bar? Even though you're not digging out the dirt, since you wanted to get to that 10th tefach into the ground, so the first person helped you, but it's like you would have dug it anyway, so it's like all that dirt that was removed, it's your removal? Selik Maitsurisha. Or, you didn't do anything great, you just added 1 tefach, but the chi of a bor is not for what ultimately happened. What ultimately happened was based on the bor that 2 people dug. But you don't pay for bor on what ultimately happens, because you don't own the bor, and the bor didn't cause a direct act of damage. You pay for a bor, not for what happened, but for who created a hazard or a menace, who unleashed a menace to society, and ultimately the final person creates the final lethal menace. And the nafkaminas would be cases where the second person is misalik the first person's action, but doesn't change the nature of the threat. That would be adding from 10 to 20. That would be adding from 6 to 7. That would be adding from 9 to 10 but filling it up. In these cases, you are removing the first person's action, but you're not redefining the threat. Then the other case would be what happens if you don't remove the action but do add to the threat. This would be someone that doesn't dig a 10th tefach but builds a rim of a 10th tefach. So you're not changing the actions of the first. You're complementing, but you are unleashing a new threat.